Welcome to the Right to Reason podcast. I'm your host, Robert Stanley. I am happy to tell you that today we are being accompanied by the 13-year-old classical expert. That's his name, and that's his real age. This kid's amazing. He's in studio, a.k.a. my house, with us, and we're all loving his shit this morning. Everybody's listening along. Find his YouTube channel link in today's show notes and throw him some very deserved subscription. This episode is a debate between a liberal and a conservative about fake news. Check this out. Are we done yet? No, they're still going. They're still going. It's amazing. Yes.
I am Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troublemakers plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these stories simply aren't true without checking facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 The Right to Reason Podcast.
This episode of the Right to Reason podcast is brought to you by our patrons and contributors like me. We have all recognized the value of the unrestrained marketplace of ideas and have decided to make a difference. You can make a difference too. Contribute at patreon.com/right and learn more about your right to reason at therighttoreason.com. Your activism is appreciated.
Today we're talking to everybody's least favorite guest, Dallas Duff.
And I guess that's my tagline.
Well, it worked the first time. I'm using it. Also, Michael Regilio. least favorite guest.
Kind of reminds me of the way Guns N' Roses used to be intro'd, where they would say, you wanted the best. Well, they couldn't make it. So this is what you get.
That's almost funny. So Regilio has a set on Sirius XM in rotation. Check him out on Sirius XM. Also, look at MichaelRegilioComedy.com. And then you got Dallas Duff. He wrote a book. You can find it on, it's not on Amazon, but it is on, what's it on?
I'm working on getting it on Amazon. I've just been too lazy to figure that out. But I got it up on, find it on eBay, and you can reach out.
Yes.
To me on any social media platform, I have a page for it as well on Facebook page. The book has its own page, or you can reach out to me directly if you're interested.
The name of the book: How to Win Every Debate as a Conservative. Prepare yourself, Mr. Regilio. Speaking of Michael Ruggiero, so the plan, as far as I understood it, you guys correct me, was you guys were both going to bring, I said this on the last episode, in closing, in the outro, you guys were both going to bring facts of fake news, liberal side, conservative side. You don't have to guess which side these guys line up on. Michael is a big liberal. Well, not like he's big. I'm not saying Mike's fat, but, you know, he's a liberal. All right, so the whole plan was both sides, liberal, conservative, they were going to send their clips, and Dallas did it. Michael, mid-swing, thought, I'm going to go for a bunt. I'm going to switch this up. I'm going to change the format of my buddy Robert's show. Michael, why did you choose to do this? Why did you choose to not offer clips from Fox News to make fun of Dallas?
Because the list would have been exhausted in the entire show. True. I mean, to play clips of conservative media being dishonest is, it's not new. I mean, The Daily Show has made a career out of this, and it's beside the point. I think a more interesting conversation that I'd like to engage with Dallas about is the roots of media bias, where it's coming from and what the history of it is and how to spot it. I think that's a more interesting conversation. Now, I will tell you that I have an exhaustive list of falsehoods that Fox News has put on their airwaves, as well as a few other conservative media companies. And I'm happy to cite them, and in fact will cite them. But I found that just playing clips of Fox News being ridiculous wouldn't actually get us any further into an understanding of media bias. So I'm happy to respond to Dallas's clips, but I think I'm just going to cite the dishonest conservative media and have, I hope, a better conversation about it because of that.
So you're saying the format for The Daily Show just doesn't work?
I'm saying we just trade clips all day, but where does that get us?
No,
any further down the road?
I actually agree with your logic. Dallas, why don't you tell us what your first clip is, and then, Mike, do you want to kind of beat them up one by one, or do you want to let them do all his clips all at once? And then respond.
We could do it either way. There's some chance, having watched them, that I'm going to just agree that there's something perhaps fishy going on there. But if you want to go one by one, I might have some comment. I watched them. I found them interesting. I found other things about them interesting as well that I'm happy to interject. So however you want to do it, Dallas.
Are we recording this? Are we recording? Or are we just talking?
We are online. We are full go. Green light. Wheels
full
up.
Go. All right, cool.
DEFCON 1.
DEFCON 1. We are orange, ladies and gentlemen. We are orange zone.
I'll just say kind of why I thought it was a good idea to have some clips, because I don't just want to be some guy sounding off, just spewing my opinions about what I think is fake news or who I think, which side I think is worse than the other. I wanted to at least, I agree with Michael that it would be pointless to have a discussion where there's no discussion, where it's just us playing clips back and forth. But I did want to have a few kind of concrete examples where, that I could point to that people can hear. And Michael said, you know, he may even agree with that, you know, these are clear examples of left-wing news outlets, you know, being dishonest. So all I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make my case for why I think there are more examples and probably more egregious examples of left-wing outlets just being outright dishonest. And you can play them all. You can play all three of them in sequence, and we can talk about it.
Let me see here. This is busted again. CNN lies.
Family and friends holding a vigil marked by prayers.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
With his sister calling for peace.
Don't bring the violence here and the ignorance here.
Milwaukee police say they made multiple arrests overnight. With his sister calling for peace.
Don't bring the violence here and the ignorance here.
With his sister calling for peace.
Y'all burning down shit we need in our community. Take that shit to the suburbs. Burn that shit down. We need our shit. Y'all want to hurt somebody, take that shit further out. Don't bring it here. Don't bring the violence here and the ignorance here. We need everything we fucking got.
With his sister calling for peace.
Ain't no calm, no crowd down.
Calm the crowd.
Y'all think we gonna get reckless out here? It's gonna get way worse. Until we get justice, until motherfuckers start feeling where we coming from, it's gonna hit everywhere.
Ooh. With his sister calling
for peace.
And y'all want us to sit here and be quiet, get welfare checks, and get SSI. Nah, fuck them buildings. I hope them motherfuckers burn down tonight. If anything gonna go, let them go.
With his sister calling
they
for
keep
peace.
Doing it.
Take that shit to the suburbs. Burn that shit down.
No. Nope.
Y'all wanna hurt somebody, take
right.
that shit further
get,
out.
We get the point.
Don't come to my house. I support Black Lives Matter, but Black lives do not matter more than my kids. Do not come to my house. I'm just saying. All right. What do you got to say, Mike?
That I thought that was a perfect example of what I'd like to get to drive at, which is journalistic standards. Now, that is a girl whose brother was slain by police the day before. She's obviously aggrieved. She's in mourning. She's emotional. And CNN made a call. And by the way, how irresponsible would it have been after a black man was killed by police to air somebody saying, burn this shit down? I mean, that would be inciting a riot. So again, journalistic standards dictate that if somebody is aggrieved, somebody is emotional, you don't take them at their word, because a journalist has to weigh what's going on in any given situation. And then again, to broadcast a call to violence, again, would violate the journalistic standards that CNN adheres to. But I found this most interesting that the first clip Dallas gave us was from a guy, it says on the corner of the clip, Mr. Pinko. Who I looked up, Mr. Pinko, and he's a MAGA. His Twitter handle is MAGA2020. That's the first thing it says. But the channel that the video came from was PolitiOpinion channel. I went to PolitiOpinion.com. They had headlines including bemoaning the deep state. They called a guy a moron.
All of this is irrelevant, by the way.
No, it's not, Dallas.
It's very irrelevant.
It speaks to the bubble that you're in and that you're coming to us from. So you went to YouTube and you looked up a clip, but the guy who made the video, he's a partisan player. And then the channel itself is in conjunction with a website that is completely biased and just printing straight up lies. So
okay, first off, I know nothing about the guy who posted this.
It doesn't matter.
And let me tell you why it doesn't matter, because all he did was take clips that were from CNN and how they broadcast something, and then he took clips from the actual words that were said. He was not giving some diatribe. This wasn't some guy sitting in his basement giving some diatribe about deep state, this, that, or the other. All of that stuff is irrelevant. All that matters, and the only reason why there are plenty of other channels that have that clip or clips that are similar to that, that's showing the same thing. The point is to show that CNN had a narrative. The narrative was the sister was calling for peace. And then we have the truth, which is the sister was not calling for peace once we look at the context. So the reason why I
look at the context.
Of course I did. The context was CNN said the sister was calling for peace, and the sister was not calling for peace. That was the context. The context of what she actually said was not calling for peace. Now, CNN probably would have been best not to interview her at all, or once they did interview and realized she wasn't calling for peace, not to use that clip. But to do what they did was completely dishonest.
Dallas, I pointed out the journalistic standards that had to be taken into account. Now, I don't know if it was wrong or not for CNN to misrepresent that, but I do know that it would have been wrong for them to play the actual clip of somebody calling for violence on the air, particularly at an emotional time. Journalists have to take these kind of things into account reporting.
What you're advocating for now is narrative selling. You're advocating that CNN push a narrative not based upon the facts in the context of what the person was saying. You're saying, okay, well, we need to factor in kind of how it's going to affect how people feel about what she's saying.
No, it's not what I'm saying. I'm saying how she is feeling has to be factored in. She's in mourning and she is grieving. If you're talking to somebody that is mentally ill and they're telling you that they used to be Napoleon Bonaparte in a former life, you have to factor that into the information that you're getting.
Sure,
so if somebody is emotional like that, right. Okay, so that's my only point. Besides that, CNN may have been wrong to play the clip as they did, but the clip as you represented it had no context. Mr. Pinko and PolitiOpinion did not include any context into it. They just said, CNN busted lying.
Yes, they were busted lying.
They were.
Okay,
but Michael agreed that they were misrepresenting the truth. His whole point was just that there's more to the story. And here's the next one. Donald Trump election protests. Bro dude's epic live TV meltdown on CNN.
Fair election, because it looks like Donald Trump won fair and square.
How did he win fair and square? Hillary had more votes. More human beings voted for Hillary. This isn't fair. We didn't get one vote. You didn't get a vote. It's just like back in the day when your vote was one third.
So the Electoral College, here's somebody who wants to blow that up. You want to get rid of the Electoral College?
Just count the votes. It's ridiculous. Hillary, you're a lawyer. Walk in, Go to the Supreme Court. I believe in you, Hillary. I've been to Rwanda. I've been to your hospital in Rwanda. I've seen all the good you've done. I believe in you. Women need you. Minorities need you. I need you. Chicago needs you. We all need you. This country needs you to stand up and walk into the Supreme Court and say one vote equals one vote. What's wrong with that? What's the debate?
You definitely feel his passion. There's other people out here who feel the same way.
At one point,
you had people who were blocking this road. Chicago police moved in. Everything has remained peaceful. Like I said, Don, as you see, thousands of people still continue to gather. But like you heard this man, very passionate about the idea. He doesn't want Hillary to stop.
Yeah. Ryan, you know I used to live there, and I know that guy. That's John Gerkovic. He actually went to Africa with me as a cameraman. But anyway, that's another story. All right. Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
So he actually knew the guy. He's interviewing his own cameraman.
You don't see a problem that the news anchor thought that he could get away with interviewing his cameraman. It's just some guy on the street who's clearly giving you partisan talking points about Hillary and getting rid of the Electoral College. You don't see a problem with that?
No, because the news anchor identified who it was. I mean, that's the
not the guy. He got called out.
Okay, the reporter. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll give you that. But I mean, the news anchor called it out. CNN called themselves out. So, okay. Yeah,
it's not necessarily his cameraman.
Yeah, I don't know that it was his cameraman either. Which, by the way, the clip you sent us, again, CNN lies, guy's own cameraman. The framing is all on the clips that you send us, which speaks to me, and I'm sorry, Dallas, but to the bubble that you live in, that you see that and you go, gotcha, okay, man. Why are you sending me clips with this in narrative baked in? You know that I'm going to check these things out, obviously.
Okay, here, I'll give you this. I don't know absolutely for certain that the guy that was interviewing him was his own cameraman. It could have been just a random selection, but logic, reason, and common sense leads me to at least assume that it probably was. And I'm perfectly willing to admit, okay, like, I was wrong if it can be shown that it was wrong. But you're right. I'm assuming that that's what happened. And common sense kind of leads me to that conclusion.
The Five shreds NBC's Chuck Todd for airing selectively edited clip of Barr. Here we go.
The liberal media screws up again. President Trump demanding NBC fire anchor Chuck Todd after his show Meet the Press deceptively edited Attorney General Bill Barr's remarks on General Flynn. Watch.
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.
I was struck, Peggy, by the cynicism of the answer. It's a correct answer, but he's the Attorney General. He didn't make the case that he was upholding the rule of law. He was almost admitting that, yeah, this is a political job. But here's Bill Barr's full response.
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history. But I think a fair history would say it was a good decision because it upheld the rule of law.
I personally, it seems to be that Chuck Todd should have done. It seems like he did edit that in order to create a narrative that he wanted.
I would also
point out that Bill Barr will go down as one of the worst attorney generals and the most horrible partisan hacks in history. But that was poorly done by you, Chuck Todd. Shame.
Dallas, will you disavow David Duke and the KKK?
Yeah, so we can get into that.
Let's get into it. Here's the next one. Trump, will he disavow David Duke?
Well, you've got David Duke just joined. A bigot, a racist, a problem. I mean, this is not exactly the people you want in your party. But I don't need his endorsement. I certainly wouldn't want his endorsement. I don't need anybody's endorsement.
Would you repudiate David Duke?
Sure.
How do you feel about the recent endorsement from David Duke?
I didn't even know he endorsed me. David Duke endorsed me? Okay. All right. I disavow, okay?
Why not disavow David Duke, disavow the KKK? What's going on?
And I don't mind disavowing anybody, and I disavow David Duke, and I disavowed him the day before at a major news conference, which is surprising because he was at the major news conference, CNN was at the major news conference, and they heard me very easily disavow David Duke. And I have no problem with disavowing.
So, Donald, how would you characterize, to put this to rest, how would you characterize in more words than one, David Duke?
David Duke is a bad person who I disavowed on numerous occasions over the years.
All right, so that keeps going. It continues. Like they even asked him in the debates about David Duke. But here's my thing, Dallas. Are you aware that Trump actually didn't disavow him the first time he was asked about that?
Well, not the first time he was there. I am aware that there was an interview where he kind of punted on the question, where he was like, "Oh yeah, David Duke, like, you know, who's this guy? I don't really know him." Like, he did just kind of flounder a little bit in one interview.
He floundered.
But keep in mind that some of those clips that you just played go all the way back to the year 2000. I know at least one of them you played was from
That's
the
fair.
Year
That's fair.
2000. So his denouncing of David Duke actually goes back well before the particular interview you're citing. And like, there's a particular reason why I wanted you to play that particular clip, because there was a narrative that was not only floating around, but it's still floating around to this day, that Donald Trump doesn't denounce the KKK. He doesn't denounce David Duke. Like, why won't he denounce David Duke? Like, I have a couple of particular headlines that were out around like 2015, 2016. Donald Trump declines to denounce David Duke and the KKK. That's from CBS News. Trump refuses to disavow white supremacists and David Duke. That was from CNN. Why won't Donald Trump denounce white supremacists? Washington Examiner. And I could go on and on. So, I mean, the reason why I cite this is because not only is there a history of him denouncing David Duke, but like Trump just kept going on all these shows and saying, "Well, how many times do I have to denounce David Duke? You want me to denounce David Duke? Fine, I denounce David Duke." And there are montages on the internet of him doing this like a dozen times. So I mean, obviously there's a narrative that is trying to be sold, that is being pushed, and that narrative is that, you know, Trump is a racist, and you know, he has close ties with David Duke and the KKK. And that's the narrative. And the media, the left-wing media, they don't want anything to combat that narrative. So whenever Trump says, "I denounce David Duke," there's a lot of these sources that just ignore that, or they push the opposite narrative.
Yeah, well, I mean, for one, that's the fact that he knew who David Duke was going back to the year 2000 speaks even more poorly for the fact that he couldn't denounce him and pretended he didn't know who David Duke was in the interview that people are talking about. And that's an old trick, by the way. If you so hold on, Dallas. The very next day, by the way, Stormfront, which is the leading neo-Nazi publication in America, praised Trump for not denouncing David Duke in that particular interview. See, that's how you speak out of both sides of your mouth. And this has happened after Charlottesville as well, where the white supremacists, they hear one thing, and then Trump a few days later comes back and says something else. He has not denounced white supremacists. He has denounced David Duke a little late, in my opinion. He should have done it immediately in that interview. But to denounce white supremacy would be, say, if you are a white supremacist, if you are a white nationalist, I don't want you to vote for me, I don't need you, and I consider you a poison in the American body politic. But he doesn't do that. He'll denounce Duke, but where has he denounced white nationalism? Has he ever done that? You're claiming that he has. I'm not aware of this.
Well, okay, so in the the Charlottesville speech, the infamous Charlottesville speech, where he's like, there were good people on both sides. That's another egregious example of how the media, the left-wing media, tries to frame something, and they frame it in a very dishonest way. So they'll play the clip of him saying there were good people on both sides, and then they won't play the clip that's literally like a line or two after that, where he says, "And I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis or the white supremacists, as they should be condemned totally." So yes, he is on record at condemning neo-Nazis and white supremacists.
That was after. That was not at the same time as the very fine people on both sides speak.
Yeah, I think it was the second one.
Yes, it was.
Are you sure it wasn't the second one, Dallas? I think he did two. He did one where he didn't want to say it, and then he did another one to make it better for the PR reasons, I thought.
Yeah, he had resignations on his desk by various Jewish staffers at the White House after he refused to condemn them. So that's odd that you would say that he did, because his own staff didn't notice, Dallas. Well,
Days later,
again, it's the same pattern. You don't disavow immediately. You send a message to the white nationalists, "I'm on your side," and then you disavow a few days later. They get it. They understand what you're doing. That is not a message to you. That is a message to white nationalists. They understand the game he's playing.
So you're buying into this narrative that he's basically
accepting the fact of the matter.
That he's signaling what's the term that the left is like?
The leader of the Nazi party in America said that Donald Trump's speeches sounded like they came right out of his playbook. And now that they have their talking points coming out of that White House, that was a direct quote from
What talking points are you referring to? Give cite me some speeches, some excerpts from speeches that you think are clear examples of this.
April 4th, 2000. I'm sorry. I just wanted to I wanted to sound good for a second. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike. My bad.
That would be pretty.
Yeah. Like I was ready.
Again, Stormfront.com or whatever this white nationalist website is. They after Charlottesville, they said Donald Trump stood up for us. He's a good guy. They got the message, Dallas. Where it doesn't matter.
I don't care what they said on their website.
Well, you should, because this is exactly what I'm talking about, how you speak out of both sides of your mouth to two different audiences. If he wanted to avow white nationalism, that would be a different speech. And disavowing individuals is not disavowing white nationalism, which is
I gave you an example of where he clearly did. You just didn't accept it. You think that, oh, well, he didn't do it in the time frame that you thought was appropriate. Okay, fine. He didn't do
because
it.
Because that's everything. You got to do it in the time.
It's not everything.
Dallas, it sounds like Mike actually conceded on a lot of your points, though, where you presented these video clips. He might have had some pushback, but more or less, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but more or less, he said each time, yeah, that was wrong. There's more to it, but that was wrong. And I feel like that's kind of where we're all at.
Right.
I can literally, perfect example. Okay. Trump just had the worst interview of his entire presidential career with HBO. It was by far the worst one ever. He sounded like the biggest dunce. He sounded like a senile old man. He looked like Joe Biden. That's how senile he looked. Where like he's trying to hand papers over to the guy. And look at this colorful graph. And like a total dunce. Right. And then as soon as I saw it, I turned to my wife and said, I guarantee you, no one at my job, I live in Texas, so everyone at my job is conservative. My father, who's a preacher, friends that I know online, none of them will see this. They'll see other stuff. They'll see Trump doing a pretty well-written speech, well-written, not horribly delivered, but well-written speech in front of Mount Rushmore, which, you know, I didn't think was a bad job on his end. I'll give him that. But they're never going to see him screwing up. And that's the problem with news. That's the problem. If I watch liberal news, it's going to make me think that Putin caused Hillary to lose, when really I think she was just a shitty candidate. If I watch the right, all I see is black people burning buildings all the time. When I've been to BLM protests, they're actually quite peaceful. The people that were actually making me nervous were the ones with the fucking AR-15s.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that the right does they have a narrative as well. I agree, and they will sell
they
it.
They have a narrative as well.
And sometimes they push it in ways that go too far, and sometimes they do it in ways that are blatantly dishonest. But while we're on the topic of the like the BLM protests, I got another quote I want to get y'all's reaction to. About one of the protests, and this comes from ABC News. So the quote is: protesters in California set fire to a courthouse, damaged a police station, and assaulted officers after a peaceful demonstration intensified. And I'll just give you my comments initially right here, right off the bat, and then y'all can kind of comment on this if you want to. But like, I just love that that phrase, peaceful demonstration intensified. To me, it's such a good example of narrative selling, because let's break this down for a minute, right? Like, so if something intensifies, like the essential essence of something intensifies, you would get more of that essential thing, right? So if something peaceful intensifies, if peace intensifies, you get more peace. But what they're saying, it's really a bastardization of the English language. They're saying the peaceful demonstration intensified, and therefore we got more violence.
Okay, well, maybe you've never been to a protest. Peaceful protests can intensify, particularly when the police agitate the protesters or when troublemakers show up and turn a peaceful protest into something more. You can have a peaceful protest that goes wrong. The people that initially gather and organize the protest can be peaceful, Dallas. Things can go wrong. Things can change.
I agree, but can I just correct you? Well,
I feel like we've been on your points for an awfully long time, but go ahead.
All right, but after this, Dallas, I would like to hear Michael's characterization of media. Maybe there's some way to understand this craziness, and I think he had something to contribute on that. But please finish. I want to hear.
Yeah, same here. I'm definitely interested in what examples he has to give as well. But I agree that something can like a peaceful protest can turn violent. Like that's not my issue with the headline. The issue is that the essence of something intensifies, you get more of the essence of that something. And maybe I'm being too particular about language and how the English language works. Well, but do you not agree that they're trying to sell?
Okay, but wouldn't it be, let's say that this was a peaceful protest and then something changed about it and changed. What if they said violent protesters rampant through the streets, wouldn't that also be inaccurate since it wasn't violent protesters? It was peaceful protesters who started the protest and then something went wrong, perhaps agitated by the police. I don't know the specifics in this case, but I have been to enough protests where something changed and the dynamic changed, be it troublemakers took over or the police agitated the protesters to the point where there was pushback. So it would be equally dishonest to say violent thugs rained through the streets, burning courthouse, when that wasn't the case either. So,
both are examples of narrative selling. Like one is trying to sell the narrative that this was like that it's just all about the violence and one.
No, one was trying to get the story straight. Started as a peaceful protest, something changed. If that was the case, then I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I just have a problem with the way it's framed, and I know enough about the way the news works to know that they're framing a narrative with the way they worded that.
Yeah, actually, Mike, but before you get into your point, we're looking forward to hearing for sure. But you and I are on the same side here politically. Right. But I feel like while you conceded his particular videos, some points of them, it's almost like you're not seeing that the liberal media is actually trying to paint all the protests in a way that isn't riot-based, where I would agree with you that there are protests and then there's riots, and these are two separate things, and obviously right-wing news is trying to mix them together to stifle the Black Lives Matter movement because they're conservatives and, you know, they hate civil rights. But that's my opinion. Sorry, Dallas, but that is. I mean, conservatives have always been anti-civil rights from the beginning. But maybe I'm wrong. I'm just saying. But
you're right.
At the same time, I feel like maybe Mike's not giving enough agreement on this.
I just don't know the specifics of this particular case, and it is possible that a peaceful protest would escalate, and therefore that could be a correct framing. I don't know that Dallas knows enough details on this. He just looked at a headline, and he's being semantic over the term escalate, which is fine. That's fine at Dallas.
No,
but I just don't know the details.
Escalate was not the word used. It was peaceful demonstration intensified was the phrasing.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Peace
and poor use of language. I'll give you that.
Okay.
Too much peace. I can certainly concede with Portland, though. Actually, one of the patrons of the show. His name is Enema Man. I was gonna reference him like a good source. I just read from the American Political Science Journal, but I'm like, you know, you guys should listen to Enema Man. But anyway, his wife has been doing the whole what's it called? It's like Moms for Black Lives Matter or something, but where they join arms. And oh my God, the story is insane. Where they actually had stopped all the protests, they stopped any of the rioting stuff. And then Trump sends in his fucking Blackwater goons, right? And then it intensifies in this one block. Here's all these dudes, and they're freaking military gear shooting smoke at the moms who are standing in front of the Black Lives Matter protesters. Then in front of them comes out the husbands of the moms, and they're wearing different colored shirts. Like, it's all very organized. A four-piece, organized protesting, not violence. And I get that's happening, but according to them, those are people they don't even know. They're not even in the group. The whole thing Antifa and all that, they're getting bust in from somewhere else, probably, in my opinion, probably from some right wing thing, but I could be conspiratorial on that. But anyway, I just want to finish this. It's so crazy. These dudes, then the husbands of the moms, the dads, line up in front of them with leaf blowers from their fucking garages, man. And then they realize they needed a little more support. So then their friends show up with hockey sticks. Hockey's kind of popular there, right? It's up north, and they don't know what good sports is. So they like hockey. So they show up with hockey sticks and they're knocking back the smoke bombs and the smoke that's still getting in. They're blowing that with the leaf blowers. And then behind them are the moms saying, fight us, don't fight them. We support Black Lives Matter. And then behind them are the Black Lives Matter protesters. And the whole thing is fucking epic. It's crazy, but it's nothing like what I see on Fox News, where all I see is people rioting and looting. I think all this media is total bullshit. And I think it's bullshit on the left, too. And I don't think Mike's conceding that. It's bullshit on the left, too. Ever since
I'm not conceding that.
You are conceding it?
I mean, I am conceding that there's bullshit on both sides. I apologize.
Okay. Well, I might have strawmanned you there. But what was your take on this, man? Like, why do you think the media is so full of shit? Is it the internet? Well, is it TikTok?
it's a number of things. But I mean, there's a history here. And for one, I have to tell you that, again, the framing, it's an old trick. You frame the media as liberal, and then the discussion becomes how liberal and what liberal. But in reality, studies have shown, and these are actual facts and not YouTube videos, that in the Journal of Media Economics, an article or a study conducted by Wayne Dunham, published in 2013, who is a research economist for the U.S. Department of Justice, found that the media is 3 to 6 more times likely to frame news with a conservative bent than a liberal bent. And that was backed up by another study done by a doctoral researcher out of the University of Vienna by the name of Martin Hemsmeyer, where they actually take both, they look at both the framing and the memes and the reception of news, and they found that it's 3 to 6 more times more likely to be conservative. So I refute the idea of liberal media. Liberal media, in my opinion, is just saying, I don't like those facts. And this gets again to journalistic standards. One second, Dallas, I can feel you chomping at the bit.
Yes, and it also, yes.
Yeah, I know. And but it all dates back to Fox News. Fox News is a propaganda site for the Republican Party, and we know this because Roger Ailes, who was a propagandist working in the Richard Nixon White House, we've uncovered in the Nixon Library, and you can look this up anywhere, a memo from Ailes called "The GOP on TV," in which he said, and I quote, to Richard Nixon. Now, this is the guy who went on to found Fox News. This is not a journalist. This is not a man who, in any way, has any journalistic integrity or history. In the memo, he said, today, television news is watched more often than people read newspapers, than people listen to the radio, than people read or gather any other form of communication. The reason? People are lazy. With television, you just sit, watch, listen. The thinking is done for you. And that's Roger Ailes in a memo in the Nixon Library from 1970. Now, that is the man that went on to form Fox News. Now, that said, Fox News, I don't have the clips because they're too exhaustive. So I'm going to read you a short list, Dallas, and you can tell me. These are all fact check. These are fact check sites. These are falsehoods that Fox News has broadcast recently. They said far more children died last year drowning in bathtubs than were killed accidentally by guns. That's false. Fox News has stated NASA scientists fudged the numbers to make the 1998 the hottest year to overstate the extent of global warming. That is false. They said Obamacare is one big fat VA scam. They said Maria Yovanovitch was dishonest when she claimed under oath that she never personally responded to an email from a Democratic staffer. But that is the fact is she did respond. That has also been proven false. They talked about the death panels, as we told you before, where they took a provision in the Affordable Care Act and called it death panels. This was Sarah Palin in particular on Fox News. That has been proven to be a falsehood. The entire Benghazi thing, complete falsehood. 8 investigations. Fox News, if you ask, oh, by the way, studies have shown that people who get their news from Fox News know less about the news than people who don't watch the news. The Seth Rich thing, where they said on air that he may have been ordered by a powerful, his murder may have been ordered by a powerful Democratic Party insider, blows up the entire Russia collusion thing.
That's Seth Rich.
I mean, I could keep going. The list is exhaustive on Fox News, and it is because it was not formed as a news station. It was formed as a propaganda wing of the Republican Party. They don't hold the same journalistic standards. Now, Dallas asked me not to get into InfoWars, even though I think that's wrong, because the president of the United States has been on InfoWars. That makes it fair game, but okay.
Yep.
Well, the reason I said I was going to avoid any fringe left-wing sources if you would avoid any fringe right-wing sources. And at least in my view, InfoWars is fringe. It's not like it's
well, the president of the United States went on a fringe show then.
Okay,
how fringe is it if you can get the president?
Fair enough. I mean, it's fringe in the sense that most conservatives think it's bullshit is what I'm saying.
Well, so there's the 3 sites that I've gone with are The Daily Caller, Breitbart, and OAN, and they are all roughly the same thing, which is that they have no journalistic standards. I'm on a website right now where I can look up the journalistic standards for NPR. They have the NPR Ethics Handbook, the Standards and Ethics of the New York Times Company, Los Angeles Times Ethics Guideline. You can click on it and see the guidelines they follow. Now, Daily Caller, Breitbart, and OAN have one thing in common, which is they don't make money and are funded by billionaires who want to get out their message, and they see this as a vehicle to promote their agenda. The Daily Caller is funded by a guy by the name of Foster Freeze, who's a hardcore Christian. He also funds Turning Point USA. He gave them $3 million. Breitbart, which is guilty of unbelievable falsehoods that they've given, got an initial payment of $10 million by Robert Mercer, who's a hedge fund billionaire as well. And OAN, which, oh my God. And you can't say OAN is fringe because the President of the United States tweets daily that it's his favorite news source. They are guilty of such unbelievable lies. They are funded by Robert Hearing Sr. So what we have here is billionaires buying what looks like media organizations and disguising them as media organizations in order to put out propaganda. Now, Breitbart in particular has been caught with edited tapes, particularly the ones from James O'Keefe. And what we have here is people who can no longer tell the difference between something sourced, like you might get from the New York Times, and something made up out of whole cloth, as you might get on Breitbart or OAN. And we've kind of diverged into two camps. So there's the people that believe in facts and the people that believe in the things that they just like hearing, the things that they want to hear echoed back at them, which is what you get from right-wing media, which is why you get somebody, and I, again, Dallas, but that you would post something from Mr. Pinko and all this stuff, is that these are not news sources. We live in an age when people have decided that their opinion is just as valid as your facts. And that's just, it's a falsehood, and it has led us into this dishonest age.
You know, Dallas, I gotta say, I think Mike made a pretty good point, man. They're both bullshit, and I will concede with you on the liberal bullshit news, MSNBC, CNN, NBC, like all of it all day long, but it does, after hearing that, it does actually sound to me like one is a little bit more hidden agenda, more conspiratorial, and more fake news.
So I agree there is bullshit on the right. Like, I mean, what kind of idiot would I be if I didn't admit that? Like, I think my shit doesn't stink. Like, really, like, you know, like out of the millions of conservatives and out of, you know, all of the news that is put out there, that there is no, like, you know, shit news that's being put out, fake news, whatever term you want to use on the right. Yes, of course there is. So I'm perfectly willing to concede that. Now, as far as to address Michael's particular points that he made, and I don't mean for this to sound condescending or whatever, take it as you will.
Go for it. Make it sound condescending. I don't care.
I heard a lot of talking points. Like, I didn't hear a lot of things where I could concretely say that what you said was true. Like, I can't confirm or deny any of the claims.
Right. I'm not lying to you, Dallas. That's the thing. I said, argue in good faith to you in an email last night. Nothing is made up. You can confirm because I said it. And I'll send, we can cite all of these things, but these are everything I've just said about Fox News, and I can do more about OAN, Daily Caller, and Breitbart. I will send anyone that wants the links. We can put them up on a website somewhere. I don't want to get into an argument as to whether or not I'm making these things up. I'm arguing with you in good faith.
No. Well, I'm not claiming that you're making them up. All I'm saying is I cannot confirm or deny on this podcast at this moment that, you know, what the things you said, like, about this particular headlines or claims that were made on Fox News, I cannot confirm or deny that at this particular moment. Fox News is the only cable news channel and or network channel that is right-leaning. So when you say that the news overall frames everything with a right-wing bias, I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I'll send you the studies.
I'll read the studies, and I'll be real interested in to see how they kind of came up with this.
Well, Facebook is a perfect example of this. It just came out that Facebook had to waive the fact-checking in order to make Breitbart a partner, which is a trick of the conservative media. Nobody likes us. We're conservatives. Nobody wants anything to do with us. So in order to accommodate right-wingers, news organizations will often run with dishonest right-wing stories and present them as he said, she said, one side is equal to the other in order to not offend conservatives. But the fact of the matter is, if you just go with the facts, and because you can't look at journalists as the arbiters of the news, it's the bosses, the people that own the own the newspapers and the stations. They're the one that, that direct the direction of the news. And that, once you get out of the world of journalism and into the more powerful people at any given news organization, it does start to skew more right. They have to appeal to their advertisers, for one, yes. which is corporate America.
Yes, which is the same. And that's where I was hoping, it's almost appropriate, we're coming up at the 1 hour mark. This is where I was hoping maybe we could find some common ground, is that at the end of the day, whether you're right or left, you have the same goddamn advertisers. And yet, it's the executives making these decisions, and they are beholden to their shareholders, and the shareholders want money. And the money's coming from the same places.
Right.
All they're doing, in my opinion, and I do think you made a fair point, Mike, that the right wing seems to have a little bit more like conspiratorial hidden agenda behind them. But Dallas conceded that both sides are full of shit. I think Mike conceded that too. But at the end of the day, can you guys at least both agree they're all our enemy? Not saying that media is bad, not saying that free speech is bad, but that our current crony capitalist society is lying to us and they're doing it for profit.
To a certain degree, I would agree to that, yes.
Yeah, I certainly agree that crony capitalism or corporatism or whatever term you want to use is a thing, and I agree that it's a bad thing. The thing that's most disheartening, though, is what is the solution? Like, we know that, like, state-run media is a bad idea. Maybe there's some kind of regulation that could be put out that's some kind of, you know, extra check on these things. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Like,
there used to be.
There was a time.
Yeah. Bill Clinton.
There was a time when the newsroom was a money loser for all the networks. They didn't try and make money off of the newsroom. The news always lost money for ABC, NBC, CBS when there were just three channels that we tuned into. And everybody got the same news, and they weren't beholden to the advertisers because the news didn't make money for those networks. They considered it a public service that they provide people with the news and not an opportunity to make money. Now that has all changed, and we are every news organization now, it has to be concerned with the bottom line, which is the dollar sign. So yes, I would say getting money out of news, but again, Dallas actually made a good point about state-run media. I mean, that becomes tricky too.
How to Win Every Debate as a Conservative, the unofficial handbook, Dallas stuff. Also, check out Michael Regilio set on Sirius XM Radio. It's in rotation. And go by MichaelRegilioComedy.com. Guys, this was exciting. I'm excited. I have a boner. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, same here. The opinions are easier to swallow than facts. The grays instead of the whites and the blacks. If you
shoot it too straight, they won't come back. We're selling the news. Thank you to Michael and Dallas. Thank you to Dave Blair at DaveBlairMusic.com. Thank you to FeedSpot.com for the Top 10 Atheist Podcast Classification for the Right to Reason Podcast. Find their link in today's show notes. Thank you to our patrons. You can support this broadcast at Patreon.com/right and learn more at TheRightToReason.com. Next week will be a classic debate between Chris Garrett and yours truly. The topic, does God exist? Between now and then, remember that you have the right to reason. I'm gonna believe, but everything is in between. The fact is fiction. Suspicion is a new religion.